Well, we was talking about abiding and abiding in Christ, and we talked about last week about His purchase. If you would, turn with me in Gospel of John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15, we'll look at some verses 1 through 6. Verse 1 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through his word, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man that abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, and I am glad. God, I'm glad that your word is true. I'm glad that you are God that answered prayers. I'm glad that you're here with us, and I'm glad that I'm saved. And God, I'm just glad that you're a good and great God, that you care. God, I'm glad for Grace Baptist Church. I'm glad that people desire to be, they're faithful, and desire to hear your word and try to do what's right. God, I'm just glad and with joy that you're in control. You say, "Lo, I'm with you always. My soul shall rest upon those, just those words, and I fear nothing else, oh God." Forgive me, Father, for worrying about everything, and help me not worry about nothing. And now, Father, as I preach and teach your word, I pray that you fill me with your power and your Holy Spirit and your presence, Lord, and I speak your word, and that you'll bless the reading of your word. You hide me behind the cross, and you challenge the people's hearts. Well, Lord, I do pray that we leave tonight, we walk away and say, "We heard, thus saith the Lord, and we are rejoiced, and we're glad, and we met with you, and we continue on serving you, Father." Lord, I thank you for that young boy that came down this morning and got saved. I thank you, Father, for that. Lord, I do ask for more visitors, Lord God. God, I ask for more souls to be saved through Grace Baptist Church. God, I pray for laborers, Lord. I pray for a bus driver. God, I pray for more soul winners. God, I pray for more people to be willing to teach a Sunday school class. God, we need you more than ever. And Father, as we see the day approaching, help us not think that nothing we can do, but we know we got you, Father. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, I was sitting in abiding in the Word of God, and I coming through this abiding and purging. You know, last week I said we saw how Christians ought to abide in God's purpose and His plans to bear fruit in our characters, how we live our life and have joy and peace and long-suffering, and basically and also the fruit of winning souls. I mean, at the end of life, this morning we're talking about we live and you die. But there's a testimony of souls being saved, and there's something you have investment in other lives. And he that winneth souls, the Bible says, is wise. You know, God is happy with the fruit of the vine. And he's happy with the fruit. Most of us have a favorite fruit in our life, and we go to the store and we buy it, and we enjoy that fruit. I think of times I go home and I buy fruit, my wife does, we come home, and it doesn't last long because we enjoy it. Five girls attack that fruit. You know what I'm saying? You just don't last long. But I do enjoy fruit, and I do enjoy the time of getting around it. But I do like the kiwi. Is that the kiwi? It's got like it's a green fruit. It's got like a fur on the outside, and you got to peel it. Yeah, come on now, let me preach, Bubba. And you have to peel it, right? It's a lot of labor. A lot of labor getting that. And that's the thing about fruit. We labor intensely to enjoy that fruit. And we are going to bear spiritual fruit. We must be willing to endure the rigorous growth in our life. Amen. We're going to have to grow. That means we have to endure that growth. Some aspect of that growth of a branch attached to the vine is the word of the water of the Word of God. Psalms 1:3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." And it says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So if I abide in the Word of God and I abide in Him, I'll be like a tree planted, but I will produce fruit. I will produce fruit. My leaf won't wither. I may be old. I'll be 90 years old or 100 years old. Does it matter? My skin may wither. My body may wither up. But listen, my preaching or teaching the word of God will not wither. My joy in Christ cannot wither. Be like a green leaf. I can enjoy Him. I can abide with Him. You know, and the thing is, it's whosoever He doeth shall prosper. It doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a theologian. You can be a kid. You can be a man or a woman. Does it matter? A little boy or girl. You abide into the Word of God, you will produce. There's a little boy in Spain that led a grown man to the Lord because he was abiding in the Word of God. I mean, you can do that. Why is it little boys and girls are not leading grown men to the Lord? Why is it we're not leading little boys or grown men to the Lord? Because the thing is, we're not abiding. Listen, if you don't abide in the Word of God, you're not going to produce fruit. The spiritual blessing it receives. They sung the song. He that receiveth the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. And bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, but you're going to produce fruit. But listen, if you receive the seed, you must understand it, but you got to hear it and understand it, but you got to receive it. When you get into good ground and you start studying the Word of God and you start abiding, you're going to produce. I mean, if you're saved and you've been saved for 100 years and you never won nobody to Christ, I'm telling you, something you need to start thinking about your heart. You need to start struggling and say, God, what is that? I mean, it should bother you. I should start producing some fruit in my life for my Christ. Because He enjoys the fruit off of you. Think about it. He wants you to produce fruit. You. He wants to enjoy that fruit from you. Abiding in Christ means I got to be remaining in Christ. One of the most difficult aspects of the need of growth is purging. The definition of purging is to make free of impurities, to rid of unfriendly elements. The vine is Christ. The branches are proved to wander, isn't it? The branches that grows in the vine wanders out everywhere. You got to kind of control them because they're full of their own will. And yet, when I think of that, I want to kind of do it my own way, but yet God kind of corrects me and draws me back to Him. He wants to pull me and say, no, you can't go that way. You got to go this way because I kind of want to do this or want to do that. And God said, no, got to do this. Got to do this. There's certain perspectives we have to follow. The reasons abiding in the purge, it signifies the providence of God. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Listen, that He chose to protect His care because God is the husbandman. He is the vine dresser. He's one that prunes, and He's one that cultivates. He's one that trains, and He trains the vines. He is the authority over the branches. Like a father knows best for the child, God knows us and is best for us. Like our Father, He's so loving, He sternly disciplines the child like wanders into the street. You know, we love our kids, and our kids want to run and play, and you can see that street. We live on a main street, and it's a main street, but in that subdivision it is. But listen, the cars fly down that road. I got kids from 18 to 9 years old, and I still tell them, watch that road, because they want to wander. They don't see the danger. And as a father, I want to protect them. And yet God does the same thing for us. Our Heavenly Father wants us to abide in Christ and to grow in Him. Hebrews 12:6 tells us that whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with him as with the sons. For what son is he that fathers chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. The thing is, he proves His providence. He wants to correct us. I have a pond in my backyard, and it's a big pond. And my dog got loosed a couple of days ago, and I was walking around trying to get the dog, and there was a tree, and I saw maybe 4 or 5 water moccasins or cottonmouths, and they're all kind of band together. And they're big as my wrist. And it was fearful. And they were kind of away, but they scattered. But I thought of my kids, and they didn't see the danger. They know danger, but they just don't see how bad they are. They're aggressive. Especially this time of the year, they'll come at you because of the mating season, but they're very aggressive. Listen, as a father, I will discipline them, I will train them, I will do whatever best for their protection, even though they don't even understand it. because they want to throw rocks at them. They want to throw rocks in the pool, the pond. But listen, there's danger. And yet God seems like He cares for us. He wants to prune us. He wants to help us. Listen, God shows His husband, He's the husband, He shows His authority over the branches. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Verse 6 says this, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. The men gather them and cast them into the fire, they are burned. He take away the unfruitful branches away. He can judicially serve her from this life he chooses to. The Bible says in 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, ye shall ask, and he shall give unto him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And listen, we start playing around with sin, there's a point where God says enough is enough. People get in this world and they get backslidden. They act like lost heathens. They act like they're not saved. And God said, enough is enough. I think about this young man. He was a missionary to Guyana. He was a very powerful missionary. I could bring people to you from Guyana and across the states, tell you that he influenced their lives. They got saved through his ministry, and they are serving God and doing producing fruit for Christ. But he got out of the will of God. Men of God try to encourage him, get back right with God. But God said, enough is enough, and took him out. His name was Brian Kelly, my brother. Not my physical brother, but my spiritual brother. He's a man that I loved. He helped me in the ministry when I was going to deputation. He cared. But what I'm saying is this, he's somebody I care about and love. But he got out of the will of God. God said, enough is enough. Playing around with sin is not a game. It's consequences. And listen, God is a husbandman. He's the divine. He's a husband that cuts that branch. People want to play around with sin. A person that resists the Holy Spirit, you're not going to produce fruit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You're grieving Him. You're hurting Him for not obedience. You know, if I don't want to get up and read my Bible or go soul winning or tell others, I'm grieving Him because He wants me to do right. Think about it. The Father is grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved because He wants me to do right and I choose not to do right. He could prune the fruit of the He could prune a fruitful branch. You may do your best to live for God, then you're going to get pruned for the profit of God. It produces fruit. You know, He allows us to go through trials to affect us, to make us better. You know, pick up a cross or go through means to make us better. There's people that in this room that are going through trials and tribulation that God has bruised, but it made you better. It's helped you in your life. The trials you go through, He's trying to correct. Tozer says this, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until He hurts him deeply. Think about that. God allows our thing. I go back. When I think of that, I think of Job, how Job went through trials and tribulation. God was pruning to make him better, more fruitful. It signifies the providence of God abiding the purging. Abiding is purging, that just signifies the providence of God. It increases the performance of God's people. Verse 2 says this, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, He take away, and every branch that He take, it beareth fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit, but He says He purges it. The verse last part it says this, that it may bring forth more fruit. That it may bring forth more fruit. It renews our object of our affection. More I see what God has done in my life and trials, it gives me a different perspective how God works in people's lives. I thank God He allowed things in my life to see that He's there and He's moving. I mean, I've been attacked for no reason. I didn't know wrong, but it's been attacked. But God always brings a protection. He always helps me, and He always gets me through those things. You know, we go through trials of maybe financial. We may go through trials with our children. We may go through trials with our family. Does it matter what we go through? God may allow those things in our life to help us be better. To show that our different perspective, not our perspective, but His perspective. And it gets affection that God cares. God takes care of us and He loved us and He's showing us that. I wonder sometimes, does God allow us to go through trials, make us get on our knees? And I'm talking about this. We can say, you know, my mama, she was going through some trials and tribulation, and you pray for your mama, and you say, Mama, I love her, and I pray to God, help my mama. And I'm just begging God to help my mama. And God takes care of my mama, and she's healed, and she's okay. Then guess what? What am I doing now? I'm not praying. I go on. But maybe God says, you know, allow these things in your life, and you go through trials and tribulation, and you draw closer, and you see a different affection, and you see that I care, and you're drawing to Him. Then you leave. He loves you, and you leave. You notice that sometimes maybe we need to come back to the altar and to say, you know, I was praying for a need, you answer. And like I'm praying for a house, you answer. Now it's time just to get along and just thank God. That's why I say this altar should be a holy place. Kids don't should be up here running around. This is a holy place. This is a place where you come and say, well, he's not preaching about my sin. I'm doing good. Well, praise God. I don't know how bad you are in your life. I don't say I don't care. I do. I'm not looking for that. I'm just trying to take the Word of God and present it, God burning my heart to you. But listen, this place would be a place where you come and thank God and get along with God. In your home, where's your altar? In your home, is there a place you just get along with God and just thank God and you commune with God? It's a place you get close to God. It's a different, listen, you're performing, it gives you a different affection for Him. He cares more about you. It's by keeping us disciplined by the vine. Every trouble a Christian goes in a father, he finds himself pointing back to Christ. You know, you better make sure that you understand between a conviction and guilt. When I'm saying guilt, this we all feel guilty. I look into my past and things of, oh, I couldn't do this, and I failed this, and I've done this, and oh, I'm no good at here, and I can't do that. I mean, I just see the guilt of unworthiness, and I see my hurt, my Christ, and I'm telling you, I've looked back in my life, and I've seen my Jesus, and I've seen the eyes, and I'm telling you, it burned my heart where I've hurt my Jesus, and I love Him, and I'm sorry for what I did. But listen, He ain't holding me down. That's the devil. What conviction does is Christ says, look, I saw you mess up, but no, don't go here. No, don't go here. He keeps moving me. He keeps pushing me. The old devil is just stepping on you and pushing you. That's what the devil does. That's what guilt says. Guilt is not of God. Conviction is of God. Conviction keeps you moving forward. And listen, when God is not cutting you to hurt you, he's like a kid with a magnifying glass and it's burning you. God is what's cutting you to prune you, to make you better, to make you flourish. He wants that fruit out of your life. He cares so much about you. You. He loves you so much. And He wants you to produce. He looked through the foundation of the world and saw you, Frank. He loved you so much. Frank's 81 years old. He lived almost twice the years of my life. And He loved you. Same God that loved you loved me. Cared about you way back on that cross. And listen, He doesn't prune you to hurt you. Prune to make you better. The productivity of that vineyard, God branches to form us to be in His will. But listen, we want to do it our will, but it's His will. His will. Listen, how many times I don't know if you hear a lot of it. I guess maybe I've heard more of it because I'm here with other preachers and missionaries. And I hear this statement, it makes me mad. Soul winning don't work. Visitation don't work. Missions don't work. Prayer cards and all that stuff don't work. That's a lie. That's a lie. It did work. It worked back then. Where did it say in the Bible it stopped at year 2000? Let me show you a verse that proves it doesn't work. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says, when the day's approaching, don't start quitting. Get more excited and start going more. Going more. Do you not see the day approaching? Do you not see that Christ is coming? Do you not believe He could come at any time? Do you not believe the wickedness of this world is growing? That means that we need to be on our knees more. That means we need to hit the pavement more.
That means we need to give more. I mean, I'm not talking about the monetary. I'm talking about our lives and our giving our kids. I love my girls, and I know some knotheads going to take them away, but I want them to give themselves to God more than anything else. Because I love them. Because I know the day is approaching. They may have to witness a day where their husband or they go to jail for preaching the gospel. How do you see the day approaching? See the day approaching. It's approaching. Why we say it don't work? Because we're doing it our will. God says His will. When God intends to burden us with blessings, most fruitful Christians in this church experience God's credible trials in their life, but they seen fruit. Romans 5:3 says this, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patient experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So I see that I got the love of God because I have the love of God is shed abroad in my hearts, because I have this hope, because I got this hope and expectation from experience, from reading the Word of God, and I've seen God move through these things. I've seen God take care of me. I've seen God go through trials, and I've seen God work through it, and I said, I don't know how He did it, but He did it. I looked for a house. I couldn't find a house. I look here, and God said no, and I find this and this. Okay, but God is always in control. Listen, I've seen the experience of God because I go through trials and tribulation. From experience, I have patience. I can sit back and wait. I remember I told you how my daddy should go, son, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But Dad, the sky's falling. Don't worry about it. There's the sun just blew up. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? The pilot calling you up in air traffic controller. We have an emergency. We're coming in final. I just lost my engine. Okay, you're on glide path. I just lost my wing. You're okay. Keep on glide path. Does it matter? You're coming down. Listen, doesn't matter how bad it gets. It don't matter. He's still in control. He's still ruling. He's still ruling. He's my God. You can't touch me. You can't hurt me. Because He's my God. Through trials and tribulations and patience, He prunes you and He works you because He loves you, because He loves your fruit. Listen, purging us sanctifies the prudence of God. It increases the performance of God's people. It facilitates the purification of God's people. Here we see in Jesus turns to, He's talking to the 11 disciples because He done cleansed the group because He got rid of the devil. Oh, Judas. He removed him out. You know, this church been going through trials and tribulation. He said, we lost all these people. Hey, God is pruning. You notice that it's settled. It's time to grow. It's time to flourish. It's springtime. And God is watering. He's seeding. And we see a little bit of growth, don't we? I thank God for that. He's here. He's presence because we come together. Listen, I thank God Miss Audrey is okay, but I ain't thankful that she went through that trial. But God used that to help us to bond together, to get close together. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him, us joining one accord. That's what it's about. He had to be cleansed individually by the Word of God. God is concerned by our spiritual purity. Because we are not the ones in which Christ uses, we are the ones that Christ uses to spread the gospel. Listen, living in sin, smoking and drinking, listen, it's wrong. You are you. When a guy pointed his finger at me and said, I'm not going to get saved because you smoke, it affected me. She couldn't stop me from smoking. I could have a ring in my back pocket because I chew Copenhagen. I had a pack of Marlboros in my left pocket. And I smoked two packs a day. I loved it. Wouldn't quit for nothing because I loved it. But I loved my Jesus enough when it convicted me. He said, I won't get saved. That's not why He won't get saved. You know that's not why He won't get saved. But God was using that to convict my heart, to purify me. To help me see, don't let nothing hinder you to help them. That's why it's a lot of times your brother gets mad at you and you did no wrong. Take the wrong to keep the brother. Listen, His word is a cleansing agent. Psalms 119:9 says, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Get to the word of God. You know, I get more in the word of God, it starts cleansing me. Listen, the word of God makes me a better husband. She can't make me a better husband. The kids can't make me a better daddy. My mama can't make me a better son. You can't make me a better preacher. But this can change my life. It can change yours. By purifying and cleanses us. Getting close to Him. His word is a pruning tool that molds us to Christ's image. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the moral, joints and moral, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." It prunes and it molds us to be like Him. It cuts us deep and it turns us and molds us. You know, listen, we need the Word of God. That's why I keep preaching about the Word of God. It's the most foundation. It's the hub. It's Christ. We have the mind of Christ. This is the mind of Christ. Psalms 19:7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." It changes the soul, the mind, the will, the desire. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple." It turns us from ways of sin to holiness. And we need to be more holy because He said, "I am holy, be ye holy." I need to live more for God and get this soul sinful nature. I need to get closer to God. I need to get like Brother Hall, say, "God, stop it from raining," and God hears my prayer. I'm serious. Can you pray? Say, "God, stop it from raining." If I was hurt, could you pray and say, "God, heal him"? Can you pray and get people saved and say, "God, help that person get saved and get convicted"? I mean, we need to get close to God. This is real. This is no joke. Listen, my kids are sick. I want God to help them. I don't want to wait to that day and try to find God. I need to find God now, so when that day comes, they need daddy to reach God. I can reach God. Listen, Grace Baptist Church, I want to be a pastor for you, close to God. When you are calling me up 3:00 in the morning and say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me. I need to go to the hospital right now. I need you to pray for me." I want to be able to get to God for you. I don't want to try to figure out, "So, God, now where are you at here? God, do you remember me? Do you know who I am?" You know, I want God in my life. Perhaps you're experiencing some great burdens in your life. Listen, we need to bend to the touch of God and let Him bend us. Well, that vine, you see that branch move out? He's just bending that vine. He's pushing that vine back in line what it's supposed to be. Guilt pushes and breaks and tears. Conviction pushes you back, but it keeps growing. It keeps maturing. 1 Peter 1:7 said, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though to be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ." He said that trial, He's pruning the things you go through, is more precious than gold. Because you're going to be a fine fruit for the Savior. One day He wants to take you and bite it into you. You say, "What do you mean?" My daddy told me this when I got married, and some of the little ones won't understand, and the older ones you understand. He says, "Son, you love your wife so much, you wish you could eat her. And some days you wish you did." You know what I'm talking about? Because you love her so much. Does God see the fruit and He just love you so much He just want to bite into you? Because you're producing a good fruit. You're producing. Listen, to produce, you got to go through trials. But this is more precious than gold. James 1:3 says this, "Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, amen, that you be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Amen. Wanting nothing. Can you imagine, can you live a life wanting nothing and be content in everything you're in? Got no money. Praise God. Got all kinds of money in the world. Praise God. You just lost everything. Praise God. Praise God. Can you imagine being that way? Job lost all his kids, lost everything, but still gave God honor and praise. You say, I'm not a Job. You're right. But why not? How come you're not a Job? Job is just like me and you. Born to sinful flesh. But he walked with God. Job didn't live no 500 years or like in that walk 300 years. No. Don't turn from the pruning. Don't turn. Don't turn. Don't run back. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Abiding is purging, is signifying he cares for us, increases our performance, and it purifies us. Don't run from the purging. We need to be purged in our Christian life and personal lives. It helps us to be better, closer. You know that my God. So one day my girl's going to come to me and say, Daddy, I got this and this. And I go, don't worry. Because I've experienced it. I've been pruned. And I've seen. But they can trust me independent because they've seen it worked in my life. I go to the Word of God and they say, it's sure. It converteth the soul. It's so sure. It's so powerful. But they got to see it in my life by the way I live my life. What about you? Are you living a life that's pleasing to God? Are you living a life that's let God work in your life and you rejoice and try to get closer to Him? Let God work in your life. Don't turn. Don't resist. Trust Him. But most importantly, if you're not saved, you got to get saved because you can't do anything else because you got to be part of the vine. Let's all stand heads bowed, eyes closed.